Well, Bill Roberts was leaving the church one Easter morning, and at the door, the pastor reached out his hand and shook Bill's hand and said, "By the way, Bill, I hardly ever see you at Mass. You need to become more active. You need to join the army of the Lord." And he replied, "I'm already in the army of the Lord, Pastor." Then he said, "Why then do I see you only at Christmas and Easter?" And Bill Roberts whispered back, "Because I'm in the Secret Service." So we welcome all of you that are in the Secret Service, and we pray that you find a great welcome here at St. John's, and we invite you to worship with us and be with us every Sunday. Today is the great feast day of the resurrection. The fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead after his crucifixion on Good Friday. As Paul Harvey would say, the crucifixion was not the end of the story. What was the rest of the story? It was the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This was his greatest miracle. He had worked many miracles. He had walked on water. He had changed water into wine. The Lord multiplied loaves and fish. He even raised Lazarus from the dead. But his greatest miracle was his resurrection. What we celebrate today on Easter, the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ from the tomb on Easter morning. It was the proof of his divinity. He had told the crowds, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." He wasn't referring to the beautiful temple of Jerusalem that had taken 46 years to build up to that point. He was referring to the temple of his body. And his enemies knew that he meant the temple of his body. "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Lord predicted his passion, his death, and he also predicted his resurrection. Jesus would say, "I am the resurrection and the life, that those who believe in me, even if they die, shall live forever." St. Paul would say that if Christ has not raised from the dead, then our faith is in vain and we are still in our sins. See, this is the bedrock. This is the cornerstone. This is the foundation of our faith as Catholics and as Christians, that Jesus Christ is truly Lord. He is our Savior. He is our God. He died on the cross for us, and he rose from the dead. And because Christ rose from the dead, you and I will also rise from the dead. That's why this feast day is so important to us, because Jesus Christ conquered death. If he did not, if he remained in the tomb, then so would we. But because Christ rose from the dead, we too will share in the glory of the Lord's resurrection. Jesus opened the gates of heaven. He paid the price for our sins. He died on the cross. And as Scripture says, if we have died with Christ, we shall also rise with Christ. And it's so comforting if you lose a loved one, perhaps a friend, a spouse, a parent, a child, a brother, a sister. When we lose someone to death, the greatest comfort we have is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because he rose from the dead, his followers will also share in the glory of the resurrection. Now, sometimes you meet skeptics and they say, "Well, I don't really believe Jesus rose from the dead." Well, how do you answer them? Well, we're very blessed to have many excellent Christian and Catholic apologists, people like C.S. Lewis or Peter Kreeft or a Bishop Sheen or a Scott Hahn. What have they say? How have they responded to objections? Well, they logically walk a person through these objections. We know for a fact that the tomb was empty on Easter morning. Nobody doubts that, right? Nobody doubts that there was an empty tomb. The question is, well, how did it become empty? The answer is either Jesus rose from the dead or somebody stole his body. Those are the only two possible explanations. So if somebody stole his body, logically, it would have to be either his enemies stole his body or his friends, his disciples, stole his body. Those were the two kinds of people back then, the enemies of Christ or the followers of Christ. So logically, what would have happened to the body of Jesus if the apostles started preaching that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, and if the enemies of Jesus had his body, what would they have done? They would have carried it out into the streets of Jerusalem and said, here is the corpse of Jesus. Here is his dead body. He's not risen from the dead. Don't follow him. Don't believe him. Why didn't they do that? Because they did not have the body of Jesus. Well, the only other option is that maybe the friends of Jesus, the followers of Jesus, had stolen his body. Well, let's look at that logically. How likely is it that they would have, first of all, had the courage to do it, let alone had the ability to do it? These were scared fishermen. They were in the upper room hiding for their lives because they were so afraid. In fact, they didn't even show up at the crucifixion. They were so scared. They were huddled in the upper room. How likely is it that they would have gotten up the nerve to go out at night when the tomb was guarded with, first of all, a huge stone rolled in front of the tomb with a Roman seal? That Roman seal indicated that anybody who would touch it or try to break that seal, automatic death penalty. Plus, we know that there was a squadron of soldiers guarding the tomb. What are the chances that the apostles could have gotten through that squadron of soldiers? What's the likelihood that all of them would have fallen asleep at the same time? What's the likelihood that they would not have been woken up when that huge stone is rolled away? If a Roman soldier fell asleep on his post, automatic death penalty. These guys were going to stay awake. They were going to guard this tomb. How likely is it that they all would have fallen asleep, that the apostles could have gotten in there, moved the stone, and taken out the body of Jesus? And when grave robbers steal a body, they would have just taken the whole body. Why did they leave the entire shroud? And why did they leave the face cloth? See, today's gospel indicates that what so amazed Peter and John, as you know, if you ever play Catholic trivia and they say, who was a faster runner, Peter or John? The answer is John, okay? So John got to the tomb first, but he was so timid, he waited for Peter. Peter eventually came huffing and puffing, and then Peter got to the tomb, and he boldly walks in. What did they find in the tomb? Well, they found the linen shroud, which is, you know, 14 feet long, 3.5 feet wide. And the way it was folded over a person, it was then wrapped up in strips of cloth. So what they found was an empty shell. They found an empty shell. The shroud was there, still wrapped up, but there was no body in it. There was nobody in it. No body was inside. And the face cloth that had been over was folded up, rolled up very neatly. See, the Blessed Mother taught Jesus how to make his bed when he was a young boy. So Jesus carefully folded up the face cloth and placed it there. See, grave robbers don't do that. They're just going to take the body wrapped in the shroud and get out of there. But what they saw and believed was the fact that there was this empty shell of a shroud and there was nobody inside. So then, of course, let's just presume, let's say they did steal the body, for but the argument's sake, and they began proclaiming that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Why would they have done that? Why would these good men, these good Orthodox Jews that had followed Christ for 3 years, committed the mortal sin of stealing a body, and then another mortal sin of testifying before courts and before crowds and lying that Jesus is not risen from the dead when they had him under the floorboards in the upper room? What did they get for that? What would they have gotten for that lie? Well, they got arrested, they got tortured, and they all got put to death because of their belief in the resurrection. That's what they got for their belief in the resurrection. Now, it's hard enough to die for the truth, right? But how many would die for a lie? See, hopefully all of us would die for the truth of the resurrection, like the apostles did. But how many of us would actually lay down our life if we knew something was a lie? Would we really do that? Would we go to our grave? And these apostles, many of them were crucified. They were pierced by lances. They were beheaded. They were thrown to the wild animals. All because of their belief in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's what they got. Would they have done that to uphold a lie? But what we see, though, is just the opposite. They were so convinced of the truth of the resurrection, they were willing to give up everything. They were willing to travel to the farthest ends of the earth to proclaim that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. They were willing to be tortured and put to death because of their belief in the resurrection. Because they had seen Jesus after he rose from the dead. They'd actually eaten with him in the upper room. Thomas got to touch his wounds and his hands and his feet and fall down and say, "My Lord and my God." 500 disciples, scripture says, saw Jesus after his resurrection. See, we have the eyewitnesses of the apostles. These details of the empty tomb and the burial cloth and these appearances of Jesus for 40 days after he rose from the dead. That indicates that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. So this false idea of the tomb was empty because somebody stole the body obviously just falls to pieces. And especially when you look at the conversion of St. Paul, Saul of Tarsus was a bitter persecutor of the Christians. He was out arresting the Christians, putting them to death. And what happened to him? The resurrected Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus, and he was converted. And he became a great saint and a great apostle. So the conversion of Saul of Tarsus from a bitter persecutor of the Christians to a great apostle, a follower of Christ who would die a martyr's death, that's only explained because he saw the risen Lord Jesus Christ. So that's how you answer people's objections to the resurrection. Not only do we have the witnesses of Scripture, the apostles, the witnesses of the early church, but we have good logic and good common sense as well. So why is the resurrection important for us? Because Jesus Christ conquered both sin and death. And when we experience death, the loss of a loved one, a family member, a friend, we are comforted in the fact of the resurrection, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead on Easter morning. If we have died with Christ, if we follow Christ, we will also live with Christ. So we should not merely stay a part of God's secret service and come to church on Christmas and Easter and give God 2 hours a year. We need to give God at least 52 hours a year. Sunday Mass. Every Sunday, make it that priority to give God 1 hour a week, at least. That's a minimum. 1 hour a week. Sunday Mass every weekend. To worship Him, adore Him, and love Him. Because how can we expect to share in the glory of the resurrection if we don't share in His life during our life, if we don't live out our faith? So what I'd recommend is pray every day. Make sure we spend time in prayer every single day. Open up that Bible, read that Bible every day for 10 or 15 minutes. Start with the New Testament, work your way through the Gospels, get to know Jesus in Scripture, and then you'll get to know Jesus in the Eucharist. He'll become present upon this altar in a few moments. Body, blood, soul, and divinity. So the Jesus of Scripture becomes present in Holy Communion. And we as Catholics are blessed to be able to receive communion not just twice a year, not only 52 times a year, but even every day if we come to daily Mass. Give us this day our daily bread. So we have this great opportunity as Christians and as Catholics to make Jesus the Lord and the center of our life. Not to make God just something that we do twice a year for an hour, but something that we do every day by daily prayer, every week by worshiping Him at Mass, and on a regular basis by going to confession. At least 4 times a year, summer, winter, spring, and fall. Perhaps more often if needed. So this is how we live our faith. So if we follow Jesus and His commandments, if we die with Christ, united with Him, we will also share in the glory of His resurrection.